I mentioned an athletic director at Utah State posting a letter on their website, letting all their fans know that he's behind Coach Wells. How comfortable, uncomfortable is it when you're dealing with guys' careers publicly, Kurt? Which in Coach Harsin's case, you got journalists all over the country writing that he may be on somebody's wish list. How easy or not easy is that?
Well, you know, first off, I think it's very common, and it's not just with our football coach here. You know, we go through this every year with many of our coaches where, you know, names are floating around for whatever reason. And to be honest with you, I think that's a good thing. That means that we're doing something right here at Boise State, and this certainly is nothing new. A football coach or a volleyball coach or whatever it may be, you know, if they're successful, their names are going to get thrown out there. And you know, what I can tell you about Coach Harse is he's on the road with our guys, and they're recruiting, and they're having some real great success, and he's going to be back this weekend, and looking forward to just sitting down with Brian and talking about this season and what we want to try to do going forward. So I'm excited for him to get back into town.
Coach, how does the behind-the-scenes process work at the basic level? Obviously, you and Coach Harsin have an open line of communication and talk all the time, but back in the day, you used to have to call the other athletic director to get permission to talk to your coach. I don't think that's required anymore. It's more of a courtesy that hopefully most people do.
Yeah.
But how does that work? And
you know, it kind of depends, Mike, on, I think, the athletic director that you're talking about. It certainly isn't a rule. I think it is more just a courtesy. And you know, it's kind of funny when people say, you know, that we call and ask for permission. I'm not even sure it goes that way. It's more like, you know, we're interested in your coach and just want to give you a heads up that we're going to be talking to him. So I think it just depends on, you know, the AD and, you know, many times it's usually having to do with someone who's in a sitting position. And so it's a nice courtesy, but, you know, not everybody does it.
Have you had any conversations with anybody from the University of Oregon?
You know, this probably is not the appropriate time for me to discuss that. All I know for now is that, you know, Brian is on the road presenting his case for Boise State to all these kids he's looking at. And, you know, that's in a sense a personnel issue, and I'd rather just keep that here for now.
Kurt Abse, Boise State's athletic director, joining us here on Sports Radio The Ticket. Kurt, when you see coaches' names come up, you've been around Gene long enough, you've been around Boise State, is there a point in time, though, where you do want to sit down with a coach and figure out, okay, is there smoke or fire here? Where are you at? You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, absolutely. You know, but I also don't believe everything I read. So, you know, if that was the case, I'd talk to coaches every single day about this.
Right.
And, you know, right now, as you guys know, a lot of times it's just speculation, and you know, I have no problem at any point picking up the phone and talking to any of our coaches where, you know, I think names are being floated around, and you know, we'll certainly do that in this case as well.
Kurt, what can you tell us about how hard or not difficult it was through all those Coach Pete years for somebody to say, do we need to talk about this, Pete? Or do we not need to talk about it? How difficult or not difficult was that?
You mean in terms of me just talking with the head coach? Or?
No, with Pete, all the job rumors that swirled around him.
Oh,
y'all,
yeah.
Obviously, his whole tenure here, basically.
Yeah, well, number one, we expected it. And so it really wasn't a difficult situation. And, you know, the coaches that we've had here, at least in my time here, even when I wasn't, you know, the athletic director, a lot of times they made the courtesy too, because I think it's also important from a coach's standpoint that, you know, if something is going on that, you know, they at least have the courtesy to pick up the phone or come see me and just kind of keep me in the loop. And of course, that's always appreciated.
So as we went down that stretch, was there a time where Pete did reach out and say, yeah, you know what? I am thinking about this. Do you know? I mean, you weren't, McCoyle was here at that time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much that he's thinking about it. I think it's more of a, hey, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, these guys are calling and, you know, I'm interested in hearing what they have to say. And, you know, in this business, Jeff, I think it's always good for people to have choices. And, you know, if it's something that they think is good for them and their family and it's a good move for them professionally and, you know, I don't have any problems with that conversation. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's always hard when, you're having a conversation with a coach that's maybe thinking about leaving and wants to sit down and talk about all the options, and I appreciate that. But for the most part, you know, at least since I've been around here, even with Chris, you know, we had a pretty good line of communication, and, you know, he kept me posted as he thought, you know, it was appropriate at that time.
Kurt Apsey, our guest, Ask the AD, Thursdays at 5 here on Sports Radio, The Ticket, Article Sports Talk with Kays and Prater. Kurt, I was blown away that there was a vocal minority of a small number of people that were that upset over the loss to Air Force that they were questioning all kinds of things about the staff. Did you have any reaction to things like that in terms of supporting your coach and saying, are you crazy or anything like that?
Well, I'm not sure I quite put it that way when I do talk to folks that have concerns about the program, but, you know, I support them 100% and everybody on that staff. And, you know, I think one of the big things that I think people just need to realize is that, you know, we see what they go through every single day. And, you know, Jeff, you played this sport. You know the grind that's involved and how much time we prepare and how we get our team ready to play. And, you know, I usually try not to pin an entire season's success on one game or one play. And, you know, I think sometimes people forget that this team was 10-2 this year. Now, you know, there were times, I think, where we were inconsistent, and I think Coach Harsin has said that many times to the media. And, you know, for me, I'm gonna defend it all because I see what goes into it every day. I see how these coaches react and what our players are doing. And, you know, as it stands right now, I'm pleased with what Coach has done, and I thought they had a great year. We certainly wanted it to end a different way, but we're really looking forward to playing one more game in a bowl game, and our guys are getting ready, and hopefully we can end this thing on a good note.
Coach, I mean, Kurt, in the bigger scheme of things, I hate it this time of year, and I'm sure you do as administrators, when coaches like Coach Herman are bailing on their teams in the middle of the season, but the season's not over with yet. And it's going to get crazy over the next month as we lose coaches, gain coaches, and go to bowl games with assistant interim coaches. Is there anything that can be done to clean that up?
You know, Mike, I think it's hard, I think where it's really hard is on the players, you know, and it's kind of a two-edged sword. You make the choice to maybe move to another institution to coach, so you want to get there and get moving, yet you've got 100 guys, you know, that you're leaving behind, and I think it also comes down to recruiting. So, you know, maybe if you have a coach that's leaving the program, I think they've got to think about where they're going now, not so much about where they're leaving, and so they want to get there and start to work, because as you know, December and January, I mean, that's crunch time for recruiting. And if they do decide to leave an institution, then obviously the institution that they're leaving needs to move quickly to make that replacement so that they don't lose any ground in all of the recruiting that's been done up to that point. So, God, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's horrible. I think the timing is bad. I don't think it's good for, you know, either team wherever they're going or leaving from. I'm just not sure from a recruiting standpoint if there's a better way to do it just because of the timing of, you know, signing day in that first week of February. So I think the quicker you move usually is the better.
Kurt, you mentioned bowl games. What would you say are the priorities if you had total decision-making power, you and Dr. Kustra, on what would be the best bowl game scenario? And I don't mean specific bowls, but you know, philosophically, is it best opponent? Is it before Christmas? Is it what?
That's probably all those, Jeff. I mean, I think that the date probably is important, but it's not, you know, I don't think it's at the top of the list. I would say the very first thing that we want to make sure we think about is, you know, just the overall postseason experience for our players. And, you know, I think that includes when it is, where it is, and certainly who you play. So I think you try to take all those things into consideration when you're making the decision. And, you know, it's not like I'm sitting back here calling everybody and going, okay, I think we want to be in that bowl. There's going to be probably two or three or four different possibilities for us. And I think you guys are pretty aware of what those games could be. And we're not really going to know anything probably until Sunday. And, you know, we'll look at what's in front of us and make the best decision for what we think is good for our team.
Kurt, without telling us, you know, what these situations are, are you aware, though, of if Wyoming wins blank, if San Diego State wins, maybe this will happen, this is what we think. I mean, is it kind of ironed out to that point where these Bulls have said, if this team wins, this is what I think, if this team wins, this is what I think?
Well, the answer to that question is never 100%. There's a reason for that. They're going to wait to see, you know, how this thing plays out. You know, as you guys know, in the Mountain West, Las Vegas has the number one pick. And, you know, I think for the most part over the years, they've tended to either go with the champion or maybe in this case, you know, the winner of the championship game. And, I'm not actually sure that they're going to do that, but, you know, that usually has been the case up to this point.
Well, that was one of my questions. If we end up with a situation where the champion of the Mountain West Conference is in a bowl game with a 5-7 team, from your personal opinion only, is that the best thing for the Mountain West champion to play anybody that's 5-7?
I'm not sure that's the best thing for the conference, but I think that whoever gets that invite is going to have to make that decision. And, you know, like I said, it's when you take all that into consideration, where it is and who you play and what date it's on. And I think it just depends on the school and what they're looking for. I don't know the answer for other schools, but those are the things that, you know, we certainly take into consideration before accepting an invitation.
Have you guys been polled by the conference, or do you call the conference?
It's a two-way street. You know, I call. I usually try to have some conversations with, you know, people in certain bowls that might be a possibility for Boise State. I certainly am on the phone during these, you know, this past week leading up to the weekend with the people from the commissioner's office and talking with, you know, leadership on campus and spending some time with Coach Harse talking about what he'd like to see happen. And so you kind of take all that information into one and hopefully end up where we think it's going to be good for our program.
You guys still have the belief that it's best for the kids to travel and go have a bowl experience per se rather than participate in the Potato Bowl?
You know, I don't even really think, I think it's always good for them to have an experience that they haven't had before. And I think it's always tough for either, you know, Boise State or New Mexico or even, you know, Hawaii for that matter, maybe a little more enjoyable if you're playing six home games in Hawaii and you get to stay there again to enjoy that. But those guys live that thing every day. So I always think, I look at it as not so much that we don't want to be in Boise, but I think that we're always just looking for a new experience for our guys that, you know, they haven't had before. And I think that just contributes to, you know, their overall experience while they're here at Boise State. And that's really what it is all about at the end of the day. And, you know, hopefully we can provide that for them.
Kurt, do you think you could get 8,000 people to Phoenix or 10,000 people or 8,000 people to Las Vegas? What's a realistic travel expectation for you?
Well, just so much goes into that. I mean, I think it's possible. We've always traveled well. You know, the Cactus Bowl is obviously maybe a little bit more challenging because of the date. But it's also a great place to go spend the holidays. And so, you know, you probably get a little of both. And I think we're very capable of drawing that many people to the game, whether they're coming from Boise or, you know, we've got a lot of fans down in that area as well. And we'll just have to see. Probably a little bit more challenging, you know, going during that time of year because it's so close to Christmas, whereas, you know, Vegas is kind of, you know, in a couple weeks and a week before Christmas. And, you know, our people have been down there before and there's obviously a lot of things to do. But I'm confident that wherever we go, our fans are going to travel well like they always do. And, you know, I'm hopeful that they can have as good of experiences as our team does, hopefully, when they go.
Kurt, what about the business side of this in terms of back in the day, you used to have to, you know, buy 20,000 tickets or whatever. I think that's kind of changed a little bit, although certain bowls do have minimum standards. How important is that to you? And what are those bowls out, you know, the three or four bowls that you might be looking at? Is there a big difference between 5,000 and 15,000, or are they all kind of negotiable?
They're not negotiable, but what can happen is the conference, you know, sometimes is willing to help our teams out with that depending on where you're going so that it's more of a shared cost at the end of the day, Mike. And I think the ticket allotment for the bowls that we're talking about, you know, that are associated with the Mountain West Conference are fairly similar. I mean, I don't think you get, you know, 5,000 in one and 20,000 in the other. So it's probably usually somewhere between that $5,000 or $6,000, you know, ticket allotment up to maybe, you know, 10,000, 11,000 or 12,000, somewhere in there, somewhere in the middle. And, you know, we've realized that that ticket allotment and guarantees that you have to have for the six or seven bowls that we participate in, if you can as a conference, I think you want to do as much as you can to share that cost with all the schools. And I think everyone in our conference is comfortable with that.
I did catch Leon's post game when on 670 KBOI with Bob, and I think he just made a brief mention that he was a little disappointed there wasn't more people for a November game against SMU. And I remember back, I mean, for a November contest, it's tough to get fans at times, and
yeah.
I think it was 4,800. I've seen it a lot worse. That doesn't mean it can't be a lot better, but what's your view?
Well, I would have hoped that, you know, we could have gotten some more fans just, you know, plainly because of who we were playing. I mean, SMU's been a tournament team over the last few years, and they were very, very good last night. If you didn't miss the game, you missed a great game, and our team played fantastic. We had, you know, close to 5,000 there. But, you know, Jeff, as you said, November is usually a tough month for us in terms of attendance at Taco Bell Arena. And, you know, even though Coach would have liked to have seen, you know, more people there, they still played a role last night. They helped us get over the hump when we were struggling a little bit, which is exactly what we're looking for. And I'm not real concerned. We've had a really good year in terms of selling season tickets for basketball. And, you know, I think there was probably a little bit of a question about maybe how good this team might be because of their youth. And, you know, over the last two games, I was actually in Eugene watching the game, and we've played very, very well over the last two or three weeks, and I think this team's going to be a lot better than people may think.
Well, it'll be exciting Sunday. How have you organized it to where, you know, you'll watch the selection show or take it in? How's that going to work Sunday?
Well, we'll get the call probably sometime Sunday morning. We've got our football banquet actually at noon, so you know, usually the timing of that is right around that. In fact, I think we've even announced it sometimes when we're at that banquet to say who we're playing and where we're going. And then, you know, following that banquet, we'll get the appropriate people around the table and start to plan for the trip.
Wow. Best of luck to you, Kurt. Thanks for coming aboard.
All right, fellas. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.